Defending Liberty 1 hour at a time and broadcasting from the RWB Network Studios in New York. This is the Rhino Report. Always right.
Let's get ready to rumble!
We will not tire, we will not falter, and we will not fail.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
She got chunked. You are very rude.
We are going to make America great again.
And now, here's your host, the Rhino.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Hello, hello, hello. I am the Rhino, and this is my report today, Monday, August 1st, 2016. We're coming to you from the RWB Network Studios in the 11th State of the Union. Guys, I hope you had a great weekend. See, me personally, again, try to unplug this weekend. Try to unplug, kind of let it all go. We had the two conventions, and that was it. I turned the news off. Everything was off. We keep it all off, and we try to... I mean, if you notice, I wasn't even that active on social media, which for me is a little weird. A little weird. You know what? And then last night, some horrible news. Some bad news. See, people like me, nerds like me, we keep on three stations, right? We keep on the Science Channel, we keep on the news, and we keep on the Weather Channel. They're always there. They're always on. If I had three TVs, each one would be on one of those different stations. Last night, yesterday, we learned of the passing of David Schwartz. Dave Schwartz was a meteorologist on the Weather Channel for 20 years. I grew up watching this guy. And such a friendly guy, such a great disposition. It was really sad. Sad for me. Here's this guy, and you know, I get it. You get older and people pass away in your life, but here's someone that I turned to on the Weather Channel as a little tyke to tell us when storms were coming. He fought pancreatic cancer. He was diagnosed 10 years ago with stage 2. He fought it. He fought it for 10 years. Finally succumbed to it. Terrible, but just a great guy. You know, I only wish that I could have met him. You know, very, very sad. But a true warrior. A true warrior. The silent killer. It's terrible. So rest in peace, Dave Schwartz. All right, today's headlines. Today's headlines, as the football season quickly approaches, are you guys ready to settle in with some chips, dip, and watch a debate? It might happen. Also, rumors continue to swirl around WikiLeaks and what their next batch of missing Hillary emails may contain. Will they put a serious dent in the FBI's credibility? And are they the reason Bernie has decided to play nice with the DNC? And as mainstream media continues to help perpetrate the DNC's con job, Hillary Clinton takes aim at a real gold star mother. We have all that. Plus, we have two national polls that we need to discuss. It is imperative to discuss those today. And Dave Matthews Band, did they foreshadow the 2016 Olympics in Rio with their 1998 hit, Don't Drink the Water? And finally, a warning to taxpayers in Wisconsin and Oregon. Your public universities are no longer a safe space for free speech. We have all that, plus your daily dose of common sense you can only find here on the Rhino Report 5 days a week, generally live on CRN Digital Talk Radio at 2 p.m. Eastern and Red Nation Rising Radio at 2 p.m. Eastern every day on the Liberty feed. But first, let's kick the show off the same way we always do, with a salute to our country with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, the Pledge of Allegiance, always, every single day, here on the Rhino Report. Now, if you want to say the Pledge of Allegiance for the show, you can send me your submission to Rhino, R-Y-N-O, at rwbnetwork.com. We'll get you on air. Just, you know, maybe it's you, maybe it's the family, maybe it's the kids, a Boy Scout troop, a Girl Scout troop, whatever it may be. Send me the pledge and we'll play it on air. It's that simple. Also, you guys got to check out, there are two new articles up this weekend on rhinoreport.com, rhinoreport.com, one by Tina and one by Robert. Tina's article is very poetic, very, very poetic. It was a deep read for me this morning, but it was very good. Still very good. Check that out. And then you have Disillusionment by Robert, also a very well thought out and well crafted article. So check those out on rhinoreport.com. And if you want to write for the show, you know how to do it. Send me your article to Rhino, R-Y-N-O, at rwbnetwork.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Rhino on Air, at Rhino on Air. Lots of shameless plugging. Lots of shameless plugging. Also, let's just get everything out of the way. You can check out all of the past episodes of this show. They're all chronicled. They're all there on iTunes, TuneIn, Spreaker, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Stitcher. They're all over the place. All over the place. So you can get caught up, because we go pretty fast here. We have that New York thing going on, so we go pretty fast. And you want to get caught up. Last week's episodes, I liked them. I mean, I'm a little biased. But I liked them. They're all very good. So check those out. And that's it, guys. That's it for my shameless plugging. We have a lot to get to today. Those of you who are astute listeners, you will realize that we are not live today. This is not a live show. We had some technical difficulties. There's some moving of studios around, and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. So this is not a live show, but it'll be up there on the podcast with the rest of them. So we have the ability to, well, maybe not take quite as many commercial breaks as normal. So that's pretty good. That's a good thing. I'll take that. You know, commercial breaks can be nice. They give you a chance to get a drink of water and... But you know what? Let's just talk. Let's get to the topics. And that's that. That's that. Nice and easy. Nice and easy. So this morning, I had told you that I was reading Tina's article. And we were emailing back and forth. And she asked how my weekend was going. I don't think she'll mind if I share this story. And I said it was a good weekend. It wasn't too bad. You know, try to unplug a little bit. Try to relax. Try to kind of decompress. Everyone's a little burnt out. This has been going on for a long time. We've been talking about this presidential election essentially since like November 10th of 2012. That's when all of this started. And who was going to run? Who wasn't going to run? And then we had Ted Cruz announced, what was it, like 330 days before the first primary. I mean, it was unbelievable. Unreal. So you're in that burnout period where you have the RNC, you had the DNC, you had all this stuff going on. There's just mudslinging back and forth. Sometimes you just have to kind of take a breath. You got to take a breath. You got to go outside. You got to look at the grass. You got to get some sunlight. You don't want to be like a Bernie voter. You can't just hide in your basement. It's not going to work. You need some vitamin D, some sunshine. So I tried to unplug a little bit, and it was tough to do. Now, some people unplug by going outside and going to a park or going to a zoo or whatever it may be. Now, Tina told me she unplugged by playing Pokemon Go. Well, it's been about 48 hours since we last spoke about Pokemon Go, so we're due to talk about it. And I guess it kind of hits every age range. Kids all the way up to adults, they love this thing. They love this thing. And Tina said something that I had never thought about with Pokemon Go before. She said it's like unifying people. How odd is that? The Democrats can't unify. The Republicans are having trouble unifying, but people walking around the streets in mass are unifying. You know, you're showing up to these places, I guess, to get the characters and collect them. I don't play the game. I don't play it. But I did almost hit like three packs of kids on Friday. Yeah, that I almost did. They gotta wear reflectors or something. Very hard to see at night. Very hard to see. She says that people will come together and they'll just start talking out of nowhere. People you normally wouldn't talk to. And I never ever thought of it that way. Could Pokemon Go be uniting the country? How weird is that? I guess weirder things have happened. You know, it's very odd to me to think that way. But I guess in this age of technology that has separated us so much, while trying to draw us together with connecting you to people from other countries and different colleges and whatever it's been over the years, here is something that's actually connecting people. Very weird. Very strange. I never thought of it that way. But Tina does stress, this is a warning, to be careful because one of her characters or Pokemons, whatever you want to call them, was in the middle of the street. So she could have gotten hit by a car. She could have been unified, as she put it, with the car to the asphalt. So we don't want to do that. You know, this is a very smart thing, this Pokemon Go. Forget the unification stuff for a minute. Now they're starting to team up with like McDonald's and Target and Burger King to put these Pokemons inside their stores. And now these places are going to pay for space. You know, McDonald's will say we'll pay you X number of thousands of dollars a month if you put X number of Pokemons in our restaurants. Crazy, right? Talk about genius. To get people to go into these stores and these restaurants, unbelievable. Genius. Absolutely genius. But, you know, there are some pitfalls here. You don't want to be lured in by a sex offender or get robbed or something like that. So, if you do have a carry permit, hey, might as well bring it with you. Might as well bring it with you. We saw that shootout in Las Vegas a couple of days ago. This group was playing Pokemon Go at a park in Las Vegas, 4 o'clock in the morning, which, you know, seems a little early or late depending on how you look at it. 4 o'clock in the morning in a park, they were almost robbed. Well, one of the Pokemon Go players had a gun on them, and they fired back. So good for them. Good for them. But, hey, listen, if you're going to play it, be careful. Be careful. You know, we're talking about burnout a little bit here, because it has been such a long, just a long campaign season. There's just so much going on. Every day is something different, right? Donald Trump says this, and Ted Cruz said that, and Hillary Clinton says this, and Bernie Sanders said that, and it's every single day we have been bombarded, absolutely bombarded, like no other election cycle in the history of this country. Whether it's mudslinging, whether it's good news, bad news, there's really no good news, a lot of bad news. But it starts to take a toll on people. It starts to take a toll, and everyone needs a little break. Now, we saw Donald Trump say that Bernie Sanders is tired. Tired old man, has to go to bed at 9 o'clock at night because he has to get up at 4 a.m. to make his dinner, right? And then go for the early bird and save the leftovers. It's really playing into Bernie Sanders' age. And, I mean, I guess you can do that. Bernie Sanders is no spring chicken. But you got to give credit where it's due. I give credit where it's due. Bernie Sanders, what's that guy, like 120 years old? He's doing 2 and 3 speeches a day. He's flying on planes. He's crisscrossing the country. I could never do that. Never. Hillary, too. I am in no way a Hillary supporter, but give credit where it's due. With all of the medical issues we've been told that she has, they make it sound like she has 1 foot in the grave and the other foot on a banana peel. And yet she's still doing all this. So give credit where it's due. Trump too, 2 or 3 speeches a day. It's crazy. I could never do that. Never do it. After a week, I'd say, guys, you know what? Park my ass at Waffle House. I'll see you in a couple of days. I'll catch up with you guys. That's what I would say. I could never do it. So give credit where it's due. I don't know. But yeah, everyone's getting burnt out. You know, mainstream media, they're picking on the smallest stuff. And that's what they do. That's nothing new. Mainstream media, especially in the summertime, where there's generally nothing to talk about. Generally nothing. So they're going to pick on every little thing. You know, Donald Trump had a bacon, egg, and cheese this morning. He must hate Muslims. Things like that. Speaking of things we've got to talk about. This Rio stuff, we have been speaking about Rio and the Olympics for quite some time. I had said many, many, many months ago that they should postpone these Olympics. No reason to have them. There's so many things that can happen wrong here. It's like you're tempting fate. And I don't like it one bit. Number one, Zika. Zika is a big deal right now. Now there's 14 people the CDC is saying in Florida that have contracted it, possibly from mosquitoes in Florida. Not through sexual contact with someone who came back from an affected country, not somebody who was bit in Puerto Rico and came to this country, mosquitoes in this country in southern Florida. So we gotta watch out for that because Brazil is the hot spot. It's the absolute hot spot for Zika in the entire world. But now the attention starts to shift more to the venues. Because we're obviously not going to cancel it due to this potentially deadly disease. Why would we do something so stupid and actually use our brains that God gave us? But now we turn our attention to the venues because it seems like this is going to happen. We're going to have these Olympics. They start this week or next week, whatever it is. I don't watch the Summer Olympics. I think they're stupid, but that's just me. Some of you like it, so good. There was the Engineers Club in Rio that said they would not sign off on the buildings. The buildings were not built well. They were built hastily. They can't pass load tests. They can't pass anything. So they are expecting a major issue if the weights get too heavy or whatever it is. Whatever the problem is, they said the buildings were not built to code. They were thrown up with no care put into it. That's an issue. That's a big issue, right? That's something NBC can't hide, by the way. Now, before we keep talking about this, you should know that the athletes who are going to the Olympics have a gag order put on them. They cannot talk about the conditions. They cannot talk about mosquito bites. They cannot talk about anything. They have to say, yes, I threw the javelin very far and I'm very proud of myself. That's what they have to say. Or yes, we rode the horse. Like, that is the absolute dumbest Olympic sport. I'm sorry. Just to go off on a tangent here. Because the athlete's the horse. That's the athlete. Jumping around 120 degrees. The guy just sits there. It's like the only sport you could put somebody on the horse involuntarily and they might get a gold medal. It's like the only one. All right, anyway, we're digressing, and I'm doing that because there's no commercial breaks. There's nothing to rein me in, so I'm definitely digressing. But let's go back to talk about NBC. So they can't talk about the things that are wrong. It was like in Sochi, because they had a problem there. These athletes showed up, and there was no air conditioning in the rooms. They were tweeting out pictures of no toilets in the bathrooms, no doors in the bathrooms. Some hotels had no beds. Some hotels had no windows. Just open holes. It looked like Eastern Europe. Like, there were just holes in the wall. And that, NBC didn't like that. They got bad coverage for it. So now, the athletes have a gag order. They can't say anything bad to NBC about the conditions. Now, which athletes choose to use their social media and do it differently? Who knows? Who knows? I'm sure there will be a couple. Some that were forced to go that didn't want to go, that are just not going to acquiesce to NBC's demands. And you should never acquiesce to the demands of a mainstream media network. There is this big issue with the sewage. And we've heard about this kind of here and there. I've talked about it on this show a few times, and it's a big issue. It's a really big issue. Now, the Associated Press had commissioned a study. And it was a 16-month-long study to track the biohazard levels in the waters where these competitions were going to take place. They found that viral levels in the water were up to 1.7 million times what would be considered worrisome in this country or Europe. 1.7 million times more. That's not good. That's not good. Now, some of these athletes have been taking antibiotics preventatively. They're bleaching the boats. They're bleaching the oars when they come out of the water. They're donning plastic suits. It's like the CDC Olympics. It looks like Outbreak. They're wearing these plastic suits and gloves. They cannot get the water in their mouth. Can't get the water in the mouth. You know, over 90% of the sites that were tested for this commissioned study by the AP have shown increased levels. I mean, and vastly, vastly increased levels. Not just a little bit, but like, you're going to have some serious gastrointestinal problems, if not worse. If not worse. And the threat isn't just to the people who are going in the water. The threat is on the beaches as well, because there are tides and the water rushes up on the beach and it goes out from the beach. You know, here on the east and west coast, we call those tides. And what happens is the water rushes up and it deposits bacteria and then it goes out and it's kept moist because water keeps getting on top of it every day or so. Now, the beaches are just as contaminated, just as badly. And they're expecting between 300,000 and 500,000 foreigners who are not pre-medicating, who are not bleaching themselves, to now be spectators on these beaches. In a beach at Copacabana and Ipanema, very popular destinations. And Brazil has not let any of this information out for fear that it might hurt their tourism. They're not letting any of this information out. And I think the AP knew that was going to happen, which is why they commissioned this study. It's really crazy. It's crazy. This is all about tourism. It's all about ratings. They do not care about the health. They don't care about the health of the athletes. They don't care about the health of the visitors. Really bad. Really, really bad. The highest levels that they're finding are in the lagoon where the Olympic rowing is supposed to take place, and then in a marina where the sailing events are to happen. Now, I don't think sailing should be an Olympic sport personally, but whatever it is. The two highest levels. The two highest levels. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. In March of 2015, they showed in these studies 26 million types of viruses per liter in March of 2015. In June of this year, last month, or 2 months ago, 37 million per liter. So it's going up. It's getting worse. It's not getting any better. Getting worse, but we're still going. These people are going to get sick, and someone is going to get so sick that they're just going to say, you know what? Screw you, NBC. I'm going to say what I want. And then it's going to start happening. Then the cascade's going to come. Rio's going to lose their tourism for a little while. You have to put these Olympics in cities that can actually sustain the Olympics. Atlanta could sustain. Salt Lake City could sustain. London can sustain. Beijing, they can all sustain. You put them in areas that can sustain, and look what happens. The venues go to crap after a while. People stop visiting. They spent so much money to build them in the first place. Look at Sochi. No one goes to Sochi anymore. And that was just 2 years ago. Just 2 years ago. So big problems about to happen in the Olympics. Hopefully no one gets seriously hurt, but I do think this will be the last time you see the Olympics in an area that just can't sustain the infrastructure. There is talk about making maybe like four permanent sites, two winter sites and two summer sites, and making those permanent where they'll rotate between the four of them every, 4 years. That's an interesting concept. That's something I could maybe get behind. Maybe you put one winter site in the U.S., or you put one summer site in Great Britain, and then you have another one maybe in China or Japan. You know, that's something I could deal with. The Winter Olympics are my thing. I like the hockey. I like everything. The skiing, the snowboarding, all fun stuff to me. It wasn't fun last time in Sochi. There was no snow. They were skiing on ice cubes. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. This is what happens. So I guess we'll see. We'll see how good it winds up being. All right. Even though this is a recorded show and not a live show, and we don't have to be beholden to breaks, we still have to be beholden to some sponsors. So I'm going to take a quick break right here, and we'll be back in a minute here on The Rhino Report.
You're listening to The Rhino Report, always right on the RWB Network.
So you've missed the healthcare deadline and don't have any form of healthcare? Liberty HealthShare has the answer. Liberty HealthShare offers an affordable healthcare option that allows Americans to enroll any time of the year. For those of you who have already enrolled but just aren't satisfied with what you've chosen, there's still hope. Liberty HealthShare allows Americans to control, manage, and direct their healthcare, yet still be in good standing with the Affordable Care Act. Members are exempt from the tax penalty and mandates imposed on individuals for not having healthcare insurance, thus giving you freedom from insurance. Liberty HealthShare empowers their members by giving them the ability to choose any doctor or hospital across the nation. Memberships are for individuals, couples, and families, offering a variety of options to best suit an individual's medical needs. If you're a freedom-loving American like myself, looking for contract-free healthcare, then this is for you. For more information on how to enroll at any time of the year, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org to request a free estimate. Do it today. All right, welcome back to the Rhino Report. I am your host and your friend, the Rhino, here on this Monday afternoon here in New York, and maybe late morning wherever you are. This is fun. Not doing a live show once in a while. But we're not gonna make a habit of it. We're gonna keep it a live show as much as possible. All right, Donald Trump, not happy. Donald Trump is not happy. If he ever sounded happy to you, then you must have misheard him. He's not generally very happy. But here, I don't blame him. He's not happy about the debate schedule. Now, I know we were all wondering when this was going to come out, what the dates were going to be, what day of the week they might be. I thought they might do one in August, to be completely honest with you. They did not. The first debate is set for September 26th, which is, you're talking about well over a month from now, almost 2 months from now. The odd thing about that day is it happens to be a Monday, and it happens to be a Monday night in late September, which just so happens to be Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football. Go figure, right? Go figure. The Democrats love this. They loved it. They did it last year. They had a debate during the bowl championship series, the college football, NCAA. They did another debate during an NFL playoff game because they don't want anyone to see it. They don't want anyone to see it. This game that they will be debating during is between the Falcons and the Saints, so Georgia and Louisiana. Now, Georgia, remember, is a state that Democrats had their eye on. Georgia, Missouri, North Carolina, these are states they were looking to flip, and they think, that they can flip these states. So awfully odd that we would pick a state like Georgia to draw viewers from. Because for the most part, I'm going to be general here, so don't yell at me. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say most people who are avid football fans, are probably likely Trump voters. That's what I believe. In my heart of hearts, I believe that. Right? So here you have Georgia, who they think is a flip state. People are going to watch their Falcons. They're going to watch their Falcons play the Saints. And then the next debate, even more interesting. Now, I haven't heard anyone use this take yet, that these dates were chosen for a reason. The next date is October 9th. Okay, that's a Sunday night. Oh, Sunday Night Football, very popular. Just so happens to be between the Giants and the Packers. Yeah, there's a rivalry there. That's a good Sunday night game. But New York and Wisconsin? I mean, both campaigns seem to think that New York may be in play. And Wisconsin is also a swing state. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. That these were the dates that were settled upon. Now we know through WikiLeaks that the DNC had colluded with the Hillary campaign to change the dates around of the debates to limit viewership. That we know. If we're to assume those emails are real and they haven't been tampered with, then that we know to be a fact. Donald Trump is saying his campaign didn't approve these dates. He doesn't want these dates. Well, the Commission on Presidential Debates is saying, you know what? There's lots of scheduling conflicts out there. We can't avoid everything. Well, you know what you could do? You could put a debate in late August before football season starts, because you know the first one is going to be the most watched one, without a doubt. We saw that in the primary season. The first one was the most watched, and the rest of them were pretty well, had pretty good viewership. But the first one had like 26 million people for a primary debate in August. We were like 7 months out from the first vote being cast in Iowa, and 26 million people tuned in to see that first primary debate. So the first one will be the highest, definitely be the highest viewer number. So why couldn't you do it in late August? They said, oh, we got baseball playoffs in October, and we had to avoid certain things. Then you know what? Do it on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. Do it on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. There's no football on those nights. And I'm sure you could find a night on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, because Major League Baseball has not announced their playoff schedule yet, where they don't play. Because they play games on Saturday and Sunday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you'll always have a playoff game during baseball playoffs. Generally, they're either off Monday or Tuesday. You could have found a Tuesday or a Wednesday to do these debates. This is on purpose, very, very much so on purpose. And I know people think that Trump is making a big deal out of this, but he should. I know, I'm assuming by saying that most football fans, avid football fans, are Trump voters, but I don't think it's a stretch. I really don't think it's a stretch. And you're taking these people away. They're going to watch football instead. At the very least, if they have two TVs in the home, they will be watching things on separate TVs. Husband, wife, whatever. You're losing viewers because of it. That's a big, big... Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football are the highest rated shows throughout the year. Highest rated shows. They don't want to show you Hillary Clinton getting lambasted for 2 hours. That's what this is. That's what this is. President Obama did not do good in the first debate last year. After that, not last year, last cycle, 2012. It's a Monday, guys. Give me a break. He didn't do well in the first debate. Mitt Romney wiped the floor with him. Wiped the floor. We saw a very vulnerable, very scared President Obama at that time. He came back at the second debate at Hofstra, and he did very well. Now, there were several times during that debate where Mitt Romney should have said, with all due respect, Mr. President, sit your ass down. And he didn't. And Romney looked weak in that second debate. But the first one could have really set the tone. The Romney people had no idea what they were doing. Total amateurs. But here, the Trump campaign, not amateurs at all. Paul Manafort, not an amateur by any stretch of the imagination. Now, they still believe that these dates might be changed. Paul Manafort has said that. They might change the dates. There'll still be some negotiation. But the Commission on Presidential Debates has said maybe not. Maybe not. Now, Trump says he received a letter from the NFL with their displeasure about the date of the debates. The NFL is saying they did not send the letter. Well, who are you going to believe? I don't know. I don't see any reason why Donald Trump would have to lie about that. And that would be something he could prove very easily. Very easily proved if he got the letter or not. Yeah, you know what? This is definitely an issue. It's an absolute issue. You know, we all laughed about it. We laughed about it last year. We laughed about it in December. We laughed about it in January when we kept saying that the Democrats are going to hold their debate at 3 o'clock in the morning in Saskatoon on a Tuesday. Like, because that's kind of what they were doing. Well, it's happening here, too. Why could these debates not be done on a Tuesday night? What is wrong with a Tuesday night? People have things to do. Like, people don't have things to do on the weekend? That's when we schedule our things. Ridiculous. This, again, I bet, I'm willing to bet anything that there is collusion involved here as well. I'm willing to bet that. Because there is no good reason, the most contested presidential election for as long as any of us, absolutely any of us can remember, can't get a priority on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night. Why it has to be on a Sunday or a Monday up against football. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. You know what? And Trump can't even say he won't show up. He can't do that. Because then you're just giving Hillary the mic for 2 hours with no one asking any questions. Or at least not challenging her. So he can't even say he won't show up. That would be the worst thing to do. Like he did in that debate prior to Iowa. Which probably cost him the Iowa caucuses. So this is a little unreal. And you know what? Bernie Sanders, he's probably laughing all the way. He's saying, yeah, this happened to me. So now you got to deal with it. We could only hope that Julian Assange comes through with some more WikiLeaks stuff before then. All right. So what else do we got here? Oh, speaking of Julian Assange, we can talk about him right now. He's saying that, well, there's more coming. There's more coming. He just about guarantees that his the next few batches of emails from Hillary Clinton's server that they had hacked into will guarantee an indictment. He's all but guaranteed an indictment of Hillary Clinton based on the emails that they are going to release through WikiLeaks. Now, here's the issue with that. I've said it before. The FBI, the CIA, the NSA, they're just going to say that these emails came from a third party and they've been tampered with. So I wouldn't get your hopes up about an indictment. Now, they probably didn't touch them because they really want to stick it to Hillary and they know that they can't compromise the integrity of the emails. Julian Assange is no friend to Hillary Clinton. They hate each other, absolutely hate each other. So he would know better than to tamper with them. But the line we'll get from the administration is that they were tampered with. So we can't trust them. And so, once again, she'll skate by. But it will interject that doubt. That's what it will do. And the more doubt that can be interjected, the better chance Donald Trump has in the long term. That just goes without saying. It goes without saying. He was on New Day on CNN this morning, and he reiterated the fact that he has more coming, and they should watch out, and he'll release them when he releases them. I believe it'll probably be that October surprise. That's what I think. Now, I don't think there's any time frame at this point that you could say, okay, well, if they determined these not to be tampered with, that we could now indict. I don't think there's a time frame that would be workable for that. It would still be months and months of investigations. So I don't know that him releasing them now does anything better than releasing them in October. So I feel we'll get a few here and there, and then October we'll get the big ones, and that'll be your October surprise. We see it every single election. I wonder if possibly, this is the reason why Bernie Sanders has been playing so nice. Right? He gave his endorsement. He didn't walk out of the arena. He tried to calm his supporters down. He sat there like a good little boy up in the bleachers during the DNC convention. He didn't clap a lot. He didn't smile a lot, but he was there. And I wonder if he was playing nice because he thinks that maybe there is the chance. Maybe there is the chance that Hillary gets indicted based on these next set of emails. I think it's very small. I think the chances are very, very small. I'm just hoping, like I said, for the doubt to be interjected. I think that's just as important, if not more important. But Bernie, who knows? He may think that he would be the guy, if things get a little too hot and heavy for Hillary, that they will insert. Well, I got news for you. Never gonna happen, Bernie. Never gonna happen. You can play nice all you want. They will screw you the same way they screwed the American people for the last 8 years. Because if something does happen, it won't be you. It will be Joe Biden. There is no question about that. Not one single question about that. It will be Joe Biden. So playing nice will get you nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. Speaking of this convention, you know, there's so much talk right now about this con guy and how Donald Trump responded to him. Since when? Now, I do feel that their son was a hero. He was a patriot. He died in battle in 2004. He's a patriot. And, you know, far be it from the Hillary camp or the left to use the death of their son for political gain. I mean, they'd never do that, right? Never do that. We have been asking for months, for some moderate Muslims to come out and denounce ISIS. That's what we have been asking for. Can we get a leader from the community to finally denounce ISIS? And what do we get? What do we get? We get a Muslim who denounces Donald Trump. And that's all mainstream media can talk about all weekend. All weekend. You cannot avoid it. This guy Khan. Mr. Trump, have you read the Constitution? Mr. Trump he went to the best schools in this country. I guarantee you, he has read the U.S. Constitution. Many Democrats haven't, because it goes against what they believe. They don't want to read it. They hate to admit that may be the framework. But the Hillary camp is parading this Khan family all over, hitting all the morning shows, the night shows, every show in between. They're getting them up in the morning, feeding them breakfast, putting them in limos, going from NBC to CBS to ABC to CNN to Fox News. They're all over the place. They're running them around like they ran around Susan Rice after Benghazi. And they have them kind of rattling off the same garbage that Susan Rice rattled off. They're using the death of their son. See, the Khan family probably believes that they are just remembering their son. That's probably what they believe. But the Hillary camp is telling them, hey, make sure you say this. Make sure you say that. Using the death of their son for political gain. Unbelievable. Now, Donald Trump has kind of denounced. I mean, this guy came out, right? This guy came out swinging at Trump. Which could be a dangerous thing to do. Now, this is not the first time that the Democrats have taken a Gold Star family and sicked them on somebody else. Because then that person can't respond. Right, Donald Trump really can't go back at him and win in any sort of fashion. There's no winning for Donald Trump. The best thing he should have done was just not respond. He shouldn't have gotten baited in. But they do this every cycle. It doesn't really work. It works for a quick little poll bump, and that's it. It doesn't work long term. They're just using the death of this American hero to further their agenda. The Khan family is being used. Used big time. And now it's coming out that the law firm that the father worked for was a big Hillary donor. Big time Hillary donor. Always connections to donors. Always follow the money. Always follow the money. Now, Donald Trump, he responds. He says that the wife can't talk because they wouldn't let her talk. You know, sometimes he just needs to keep his mouth shut. He just needs to keep his mouth shut. And now, as a New Yorker, I can tell you how hard that is. I can tell you that's rather hard to do sometimes. But you got to be a little bit more disciplined. You can't get baited into this. He's going to see a dip in the polls. He's going to. And it's going to be because of this. Now, the next terrorist attack that is attached to radical Islam, this will all go away. He'll say, see, I told you. And once again, it'll be because of no doing of Donald Trump that he actually goes up in poll numbers again. But what mainstream media is forgetting, what they're not parading around TV is Pat Smith. They're not parading Pat Smith around TV. You're only seeing Pat Smith on Fox News. Of course, she's the mother of U.S. Foreign Service Officer Sean Smith, who was killed in Benghazi. And then even yesterday, after Donald Trump takes a swipe at the Khan family, Hillary Clinton takes an even bigger swipe at Pat Smith. But nobody covers it. She essentially called Pat Smith a liar. She said in an interview with Chris Wallace, who, not my favorite interviewer, but Hillary will never go on with Sean Hannity. Never happen. She essentially said that Pat Smith was blinded by her sadness and that she doesn't recall what Hillary Clinton told her. She's remembering it wrong. Hillary Clinton never said anything about a video. Never said it. Never happened. So she's imagining this. And the father of Tyrone Woods, who also heard this, is also imagining this. They were grief-stricken. And they could not determine the words that were coming out of Hillary Clinton's mouth. There's some sort of amnesia involved here, perhaps. Slams down Pat Smith. Slams down the father of Tyrone Woods. Nothing. Two dead Americans. Gold star parents, too. Pat Smith. Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And does mainstream media touch it? No. They won't touch that with a 15-foot pole. The same 15-foot pole, mind you, that Bill won't touch Hillary with. The same pole. Same pole, just so you know. Won't touch it. Won't go anywhere near it. I have the transcript here. Chris, my heart goes out to both of them. Losing a child under any circumstances, especially in this case, two State Department employees, extraordinary men, both of them, two CIA contractors, gave their lives protecting our country, our values. I understand the grief and the incredible sense of loss that can motivate that. As other members of families who lost loved ones once have said, that's not really what they heard. I don't hold any ill feeling for someone who in that moment may not have fully recalled everything that was or wasn't said. This is the woman who wants to be president. Now, first off, this is a rehearsed answer. An absolutely rehearsed answer. It has been through focus group upon focus group before they determined that this was how you answer that question when you're asked it by a rightward-leaning network. That's how you answer it. This is what the focus group says is okay. She doesn't care. But Donald Trump, he's the racist for going after the Khan family. What else do we have? Oh, we have some new polls. Let's check out these new polls here. Actually, you know what? Let's take a really quick break, and then we'll talk about the polls, and then we'll talk about two state universities that your tax dollars are going to that you may want to, well, watch what you say when you go there. Watch what you say, because your free speech may not be protected. We'll be back here on The Rhino Report.
You're listening to The Rhino Report, always right, on the RWB Network.
So you've missed the healthcare deadline and don't have any form of healthcare? Liberty HealthShare has the answer. Liberty HealthShare offers an affordable healthcare option that allows Americans to enroll any time of the year. For those of you who have already enrolled but just aren't satisfied with what you've chosen, there's still hope. Liberty HealthShare allows Americans to control, manage, and direct their health care, yet still be in good standing with the Affordable Care Act. Members are exempt from the tax penalty and mandates imposed on individuals for not having health care insurance, thus giving you freedom from insurance. Liberty HealthShare empowers their members by giving them the ability to choose any doctor or hospital across the nation. Memberships are for individuals, couples, and families, offering a variety of options to best suit an individual's medical needs. If you're a freedom-loving American like myself, looking for contract-free healthcare, then this is for you. For more information on how to enroll at any time of the year, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org to request a free estimate. Do it today. All right, guys, welcome back to the Rhino Report. I am your host and your friend, the Rhino, as we wrap up this Monday edition of the Rhino Report here, August 1st. It's already August. Hard to believe it's already August. I thought it was, I don't know. Me, this is the dog days of summer. I'm not really into it. Bring back the winter. It's too hot for me. I don't do well in the heat. But we're in the dog days, so that's all right. Hey, we got some new polls here. This is a CBS News poll. We have to look at the very first question here. Very first question, how likely are you to vote, okay? 82% say they are highly, highly likely, definitely voting. Definitely voting, and 12% say probably voting. So 94% of people in this poll are probably voting. That is not a good representation. Not a good representation of that. We don't vote at that rate. We vote somewhere, if we get to 50, we're in good shape. It's lower than that generally. So not a good representation. Anyway, this poll is conducted between July 29th and July 31st. 1,393 respondents, 1,131 of them are actually registered. 376 registered Democrats and 315 registered Republicans, 440 independents. So they are polling 20% more Democrats. And when they weighed it out, when they used the math and they weighed it out, then you have 30% more Democrats. 30%, they're expecting a 30% higher turnout at the polls of Democrats than Republicans, according to this poll. So take that, remember that number when we go over the numbers here. With that in mind, Hillary Clinton, 6-point lead. 6 points, 47 to 41. All that, 30% more Democrats turning out, in which she has 86% support from, and she's only up by 6 in this CBS poll. You have to. It is imperative that you look at the sampling. Don't just look at the numbers. These numbers, these polls are commissioned to show something. If they don't show the right thing, they change the sampling. They take a question out. They use less respondents. Whatever they have to do to change the sampling so that their plus or minus margin of error is reflective only of their sampling, not of the general public. Always remember that. The plus or minus is reflective only of their sampling. Let's see, when you throw Gary Johnson in here, he gets 10%. He gets 10%. Hillary 41, Trump 36, Johnson 10. So she sticks to, she has a 5-6 point lead here. Johnson at 10, he needs 5% more to get into the debate. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't know, very close. Interestingly enough, in the CBS poll conducted after the end of the Democrat National Conference, no Jill Stein in this poll. Interesting, because I think if you put a Jill Stein in here, I bet that Hillary number comes down. How many Bernie voters did we see that said that they're going to vote for Jill Stein? A lot. Now, is she going to garner 5, 6, 10%? Who knows? Probably not 10%. Somewhere in the 6 to 7% area max. But that still comes off of Hillary's number exclusively. There are no people that say, well, I'm for Trump or Stein. It's not the same. So when they ask the question, who would you vote for, Hillary or Donald? And they ask the question, who would you vote for, Hillary, Donald, or Gary Johnson? And then they ask, who would you vote for, Hillary, Donald, Johnson, or Stein? The Stein question was ripped. It was ripped away. I'm sure they asked it, but they didn't want to reflect it in this poll. They didn't want it here, so it's not here. Her name is not even mentioned in this whole poll. Well, if I'm the Stein camp, I'm not real happy about that. Not real happy about that. 92% of Clinton voters have their mind made up. That's down from 94% in July that said they had their mind made up. Trump voters, 91% have their mind made up. That's up from 90%, up from 90%. 5% of Clinton voters, 7%, I'm sorry, 7% say they might change their mind, which is up. Last month, only 5% said they might change their mind. Yeah. And Trump is down. 8% of Trump voters say they might change their mind, down from 9% last month. So Trump is consolidating, and Hillary's getting a little ragged. Getting a little ragged here, even with the skewed poll. Let's see what we have here. We have favorables, unfavorables. Total 52% unfavorable for Donald Trump. That's not too bad. That's down from 53% in this poll last month. And then you have Hillary Clinton at a 50% unfavorable. That's down from 56% last month. Interestingly enough, in this poll, is Democrats have a lower unfavorable rating for Trump than Republicans do of Hillary. A lot of animosity towards Hillary from Republicans. Democrats are less likely to say Donald Trump is unfavorable, as Republicans are more likely to say Hillary Clinton is unfavorable in this poll. Lots of ways to extrapolate this information and get to a number. Lots of different ways. Also, okay, really quickly, I'm not going to talk. I had a PPP poll we're not going to talk about. Maybe tomorrow on tomorrow's live show. It's a garbage poll, and I want to tell you all the reasons why. There's just not enough time to do it today. So maybe tomorrow those numbers aren't changing. Really quickly, WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks did a poll on Twitter. Now, I know Twitter polls are not scientific, and there's every chance that people who aren't in this country can vote in that poll. But people in this country, people outside this country, remember, are very much hoping that Hillary wins. That Hillary wins. They don't like seeing U.S. They don't like seeing us being a big bad country. They want Hillary to win. So even with this, 117,000 votes on Twitter on this WikiLeaks poll, Donald Trump 50%, 50%, Hillary 22%, Stein 16%, and Johnson 12%. So that's just, it's a non-scientific, who would you vote for Twitter poll that 117,000 people voted in, a much, much, much larger sampling than anybody else we're seeing. But it's, you gotta take it with a grain of salt. Take it with a grain of salt. I do believe that right now, with a real poll with real numbers, Donald Trump is winning probably by anywhere from 5 to 8 points. Something in that area. Just based on what I've seen, when I even out the sampling and I do my math, I can see that's where his lead is nationally. So this poll, probably a little skewed, but it's starting to tell you something. When you take polls en masse, when people are en masse, Hillary is not the preferred candidate. In fact, she's only preferred 6% more than Jill Stein. Unreal. Absolutely unreal. So, again, it's an online poll. It's a Twitter poll. You can't vote more than once unless you have more than one account, of course. And people outside of the country, I'm sure, are voting in this too. Although in the Twitter mention there, it said U.S. voters only, but you can't prevent people. So those are the polls. Those are the two polls I wanted to talk about today. We'll do the PPP poll on tomorrow's live show because we have to tear it apart, and there's not nearly enough time to do that right now. So we'll put that off to the side, and let's talk about, well, right here, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and I shouldn't say right here. I'm saying right here because the paper's in front of me. I'm not in Milwaukee. They have issued an online guide for new students about how to address people in the school. They should use pronouns such as Z, Zim, Fair Self, Ver Self, Ter Self, and Zem Self. And they should use those pronouns in place of he, she, him, her, himself, herself. What is this, like a new Klingon language? What is that? I can't even pronounce half these words. It says never, this is a quote, never ever refer to a person as it or a he, she, unless they specifically ask you to. This is a quote. These are offensive slurs used against trans and gender non-conforming individuals, so don't say that stuff, it's no good. In fact, if you find someone in one of your classes, it says here, using the wrong pronoun, you have to tell them. You have to tell them it's wrong, and then you have to explain to the person who the wrong pronoun was used against that you're going to stand up for them, and you're going to say to that big bad bully, you can't call him a him. It's got to be a Zim or a Zang or something like that. So that's going on at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and at the University of Oregon, they have a PC police called the Bias Response Team, which they have a new name now called the Bias Education and Response Team, awfully Orwellian of them, and they are going to investigate claims that people are not being nice. They're not being nice. They're making fun of each other. There are things that offend people. There are sexist signs. There are triggering images. And they're going to investigate these things. So don't make fun of anybody. You might get investigated by a millennial who can't find a real job. Hey, guys, it's been fun. This is a fun show today, so I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. And we'll see you back tomorrow live on CRN Digital Talk Radio at 2 p.m. Eastern. Have a great day.